from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
One of the things we spent a good bit of time here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, the last few days talking about is some concerns that Kirby Smart has, mostly on the defensive side of the football for right now. Kirby a little bit worried about a couple of those position groups in particular. The defensive line he's talked a lot about, the secondary he's talked a lot about. We really earlier this week, I think we spent a good bit of time addressing Kirby's concerns in the secondary. We'll come back to that at some point in time. Some very candid comments from him this week about Richard LeCount, for instance. But we'll kind of come back to that at another point. It's really what's happening at defensive line right now that I sort of find to be most interesting, and the kind of thing that Kirby Smart also, when he spoke to the media on Thursday, spent a good bit of time addressing. First of all, we know there have been some injuries. Michael Barnett not working right now. Justin Young not working right now. And because of that, they've even had to move an offensive lineman over to the defensive line. Chris Barnes, who came to Georgia in the class of 2016 as an offensive lineman, now trying to get his shot on defensive line because, A, he's looking for some playing time, and, B, Georgia just needs some bodies of that position group. Well, on Thursday, Kirby Smart did sort of address that position change. How is that transition going for Chris Barnes? Here is what Kirby Smart said about that.
He's still learning where to line up. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We're so low numbers on the defensive line. We are extremely struggling at the defensive line from a depth standpoint. We got a lot of guys banged up and injured. But Chris has been over there. Unfortunate for him, he didn't get to go through a lot of the meetings in the offseason. He doesn't know what the words mean. He's playing really hard. But he's got to play with a better pad level. He's got to play lower, and that's really on us. We just haven't got a chance to work with him. But he has been very open because he knows it gives him an opportunity to contribute, and he's worked hard at it.
Listen, I probably have a lot of biases, you know, from my perspective when I look at college football. One of the biases I hope I have is a pro player bias. I just want to, you know, be for players as much as I possibly can be. And I think when it comes to a guy like Barnes having to go from offensive to defensive line, I think that's a tough transition. I feel for these guys who want to try to find a spot on the field, and they're courageous enough to move around positions, try to give themselves a chance to do that. I hope for Barnes this works out well. But I think for a lot of Georgia fans, there's some other words that Kirby Smart uses there that really sort of jump out at you, become almost like red flags of, ooh, that doesn't sound too good. You hear the phrase low numbers. You hear the word depth. That's never a great thing, and Kirby Smart's talked about that in a negative light a few times already this spring. Obviously, injuries is a word that kind of comes up there. And when you add, you know, lack of depth, low numbers to the position, injuries to some of the guys who are there, all of a sudden, you start looking at a scenario for Georgia, you know, on the field here in 2018, where it just sort of appears that there's just not quite enough defensive linemen. And obviously, for those of us that follow recruiting and here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, that is something we do pay close attention to. We know that, for the most part, Georgia didn't add a lot of big names in the class of 2017 along the defensive line. Didn't really add a lot of big names on the defensive line for the class of 2018. Did bring in some guys, maybe not as many or as highly rated prospects as UGA fans would have liked to. But when Kirby Smart looks at the current situation with his defensive line and then looks ahead to the 2019 class and probably beyond, he knows that position is going to be crucial for future UGA recruiting efforts, and he was very candid about that this week. Here is Kirby talking about a major UGA recruiting priority.
They ran the ball on us well, especially late in the game. Wasn't so much in overtime. Wasn't a lot of running going on, but it was more in the fourth quarter, and we certainly got a get better at defending that, especially against big physical people like them, like our offense. But the way to do that is you got to have big people to combat big people with. And we don't have a lot of big guys. So we're looking to recruit. We're trying to find 290-plus guys that can help us become more stout. For us to play the way we want to play, we got to have physical guys in there.
So listen, you know, we talked the other day about, you know, maybe some sandbagging that Kirby Smart had done regarding his defense last spring, saying they were getting pushed around and everything was dire and everything was terrible, and then come to find out everything actually was fine on the field in 2017. Is this another example of Smart maybe playing possum here when it comes to the state of his defensive line? I'm not so sure. I'm probably a little bit more willing to take him at face value on this, at least for right now. And I clearly align my thinking with his when it comes to 2019 being a huge recruiting priority for Georgia at the defensive tackle position. I mean, a couple of these names we've talked a lot about. We'll talk to Jeff Sintel about a little bit more when he joins us later on. You know, Trayvon Walker, who I think may be the single most important recruit that Georgia's chasing in 2019. He's one of these really athletic defensive tackles. Not as big right right now is Kirby just said he wants them, but a guy that I would expect to gain some weight at the college level and certainly a tremendous athlete. Jalen Humphreys, a kid from the Gwinnett County area. That's another guy that I think is going to be one of those major in-state prospects when it comes to a defensive tackles. One of those names that we're going to talk about a lot when Jeff joins in a minute. We'll also start talking for the first time here on this program about C.J. Clark. If maybe Trayvon Walker is one of those guys that doesn't quite have the size as of now that Kirby Smart says he wants, you know, for Clark, the big four-star young man out of North Carolina, he definitely brings that to the table already. 303 pounds when he checks in at, according to the 24/7 Sports profile of him there. So some of these names are going to be some of the names that you hear a lot about as Georgia tries to make sure it stays beefed up in its defensive line here moving forward. One of our commenters who watches the show on video, after we go off the air, we take a few comments, and a commenter mentioned the other day, hey, maybe defensive line's about to become like what offensive line did for the class of 2017 and 2018, where Georgia had a need and met it emphatically over the course of a couple recruiting cycles. I think you may see that for 2019 and 2020 when it comes to the defensive line here, and I think Kirby Smart's words we just heard from sort of foreshadows that just a little bit. But as we know, it's going to be at least a year, if not a couple years, before guys like that arrive at Georgia, make an impact at Georgia, assuming the Dogs are able to sign them at all. But what does that mean on the field for 2018? Well, Georgia does need more depth. They need to be more physical. They need to be a little beefier there along the defensive line, which maybe means an opportunity for a guy we haven't talked about a lot here lately on a Dog Nation Daily. For instance, a guy like Daquan Hawkins-Muckle, who is still there, has some experience and some of that beef that Kirby Smart says he wants. Could this be the kind of year where Hawkins-Muckle emerges as a guy, maybe almost like a John Atkins role from a season ago? Well, earlier late last week, Kirby Smart also talked a little bit about that defensive lineman and what Daquan Hawkins-Muckle might eventually be able to do. Here is Kirby again.
He's getting a lot of reps. He's one of the healthy guys. He's competing. He's down to 305, which I told him he could not play if he was above 310. He's just not an effective football player. And he's taking that personal, and he's achieved. He's around 305. If I can get him down to 295, I really think we'll have a good football player. But he's working hard. You know, he's a good leader. He goes out each day and tries to help affect the other players on the defensive line. We just got to get him to sustain longer. He and Devontae Wyatt have to do a little extra conditioning to keep that weight down.
Yeah, Devontae Wyatt, another name we'll talk about. One of those guys originally supposed to be a part of the class of 2017, ended up being a 2018 guy. But the bottom line for me is the Kirby Smart concerns with the defensive line, I do think they are legitimate, but they are obviously not unique. This is one of those positions that is just going to be scarce in college football. They are never going to be on anybody's roster. Georgia's, Alabama's, anybody in between. There's never going to be enough elite defensive linemen. Georgia does have more than most, but Kirby Smart's not wrong when he says in 2019 and 2020 in those recruiting classes, Georgia's going to look to get more. National champions have good defensive linemen. Elite, big, good defensive tackles. That's where Georgia wants to go, and more defensive linemen are the path a Dog can have to travel in order to be able to get there. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza, and we are glad you're with us. No matter how you access the program here today, you watch us on video, 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook or YouTube page. You can listen to us on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and you can check us out in podcast form, as we like to say, pretty much wherever podcasts are found. You can find us Apple Podcasts, the Android devices. I love hearing from you guys on the Android side of things. You seem to be having no trouble accessing the show. We're glad about that. Also, a lot of you listen just by accessing the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. We post it there. It's available for you on SoundCloud. We're just really, really glad you have found Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. And speaking of Marco's Pizza, by the way, you'll know that I love having them as part of our show and love Marco's Pizza. My family and I, we sort of sit down with a little Marco seemingly just about every weekend here, especially this time of year. You sit on the back deck at the front porch and just sort of enjoy some pizza and some nice weather. It is a lot of fun. And right now, Marco's Pizza has a great offer for you to be able to do just that. They want you to meet the boss of all cheese pizza. You can get what they call the big cheese. It's an extra large pizza with a blend of five cheeses here. Right now, that extra large, just $10.99 at the Marco's Pizza nearest you. We're really glad to have Marco's Pizza here with us today on Dog Nation Daily. Coming up later on, it'll be our regular Friday conversation with Jeff Sintel. You just heard me address a lot of issues when it comes to Georgia's 2019 recruiting class and the need for defensive tackles. We'll dive a little deeper with that on Jeff Sintel here in just a moment. Yesterday on the program, though, we let you hear a little bit from Georgia Tech and Isaac Nada. And one of the things that Nada talked about yesterday was the potential role for more catches for tight ends here in 2018. Obviously, the reason for that, and this may be overly simplistic, but this was the reason that came up yesterday, was last year you had Chubb and Michelle. They're great running backs. This year, they're gone. Now you've got the offensive coordinator, Jim Chaney, working as tight ends position coach. Maybe all this equals up to a scenario where tight ends get more involved here. The one thing that Nada did remind us, though, of, hey, even though Chubb and Michelle are gone, and even though the tight ends want the football, this is still a pretty impressive crop of running backs, and they're still going to get plenty of carries. Here's a little more from Isaac Nada on that point.
We got a bunch of good backs. We've been nicked up back there. So, you know, we've had some guys, even Prather Hudson stepped up and made some big runs in the first scrimmage. So that was good to see. But we just got so much talent back there that, you know, it's going to be hard not to get those guys the ball as well. You know, Elijah Holyfield, Brian Herring, and DeAndre Swift. And then we got a couple guys we haven't even seen yet, you know, due to injury. So, you know, we got a ton of talent back there. And so I'm going to be excited to, you know, see what happens in this next scrimmage in G-Day, see how those guys carry the rock.
It's that last line, or among the last lines that Nada uses there, that kind of gets my attention. He says, we know Elijah Holyfield's good. We know that Brian Herring's good. We've even seen some good stuff from Prather Hudson, to say nothing of DeAndre Swift, who at this point in time is a bit of a sure thing. But he sort of foreshadows and gives you a little bit of a tease about a couple other guys we haven't had a chance to see yet. Obviously, James Cook, going to be a summer enrollee at Georgia. Zamir White is in attendance at these practices right now, but he's injured and not able to play. He's still recovering from an ACL injury that he dealt with near the end of his high school season. But the more you hear guys like Isaac Nada talk, or Georgia coaches talk, or people around the Georgia program talk, the more you start to get a sense that maybe there's some optimism starting to grow here for Zamir White and a potential role for him on the field for Georgia in 2018. Let me kind of take you through the timeline here on this with me for a moment, and let's see if we kind of agree on this. Let's go back to the start here of Georgia spring practice. Seems like a long time ago now. It was, what, about halfway through the month of March, and a lot of issues that Kirby Smart addressed, including people curious about Zamir White. Well, at that time, right before the first practice for Georgia, Kirby Smart sort of laid down what he thought was his timeline or his expectations for what we could look to see from Zamir White this spring. Do you remember when Kirby Smart said this?
Yeah, that's hard for me to answer because I am not a doctor. I don't know. He certainly looks good right now. He's progressing along. He's maybe ahead of where we expected him to be. But to say he's going to be there fall camp ready to go, I don't know that. I mean, you guys will get to see him out there. He'll probably be doing some individual drills. You make your own assessment, because I think that's the challenge for us, is not knowing where he's going to be, and also the health of our three current backs coming out of spring practice.
I think there's a natural honesty there that Kirby Smart legitimately doesn't know. He, after all, isn't a doctor. But there's also, I think, this attempt to sort of maintain a proper level of expectation. Hey, don't get too excited about a freshman running back of any stripe, but especially maybe not this freshman running back, who would be spectacular if he's fully healthy. But let's not forget, for the moment, he's not fully healthy. But then there's this, those little brief moments when things just sort of slip out, those accidental moments when you know, positive words get used. I'm going to give you an example of this. Kirby Smart talked about another player, but Zamir White's name comes up here. Devon Wilson's obviously one of those incoming freshman defensive backs. He tore his ACL too. But in the midst of sort of giving a favorable prognosis potentially for Devon Wilson, Kirby also drops in there a little nugget that maybe makes Georgia fans feel pretty good about Zamir White too. This was a pretty interesting development in the White story. Here is Kirby.
I mean, that's a tough injury, because he was a kid that was really coming on for us, and we still think he's going to be able to play next year. It's not a matter of being out. There's a lot of guys that come back from that and are able to play, and he's a bright kid. He's a really hardworking kid. We think he'll heal fast, and I mean, if he's at Zamir's pace, we should be able to hopefully get him back.
So at the beginning of the spring, Kirby Smart wasn't sure what to expect from Zamir White. But later on in the spring, when talking about Devon Wilson's injury, saying, well, if Wilson progresses as fast as Zamir White is progressing, maybe Wilson could also play in 2018 too, which brings us back to Zamir White. Wait a second. So he is doing well? He is growing fast here? He is on his way back to football field? Maybe so. To go back to Isaac Nada here for a moment, Nada certainly seems to think that when White does get on the field, Georgia fans may be in for a treat. Here's Isaac Nada again.
He's got to be careful with what he does. You know, he's still rehabbing and things, but you can see, you know, he's got a lot of talent and a lot of upside, and big physical kid too. So when he gets up and rolling around really good, it's going to be really fun to see.
yeah, I think it's going to be really, really fun to see. And I think the point of this entire discussion is for Georgia fans who wonder when they might get to see Zamir White, well, gosh, it seems like the closer we get towards the end of the spring, the more we get to a scenario where the scenario in which you get to see White may be sooner rather than later. Listen, y'all know I'm not a doctor. I'm barely even a podcast host. But I would certainly say that my optimism is growing from what to expect from Zamir White this fall. I think we clearly know there's a pecking order of very good running backs at place at Georgia. We know that Elijah Holyfield is a top-flight guy. He's been showing that some this spring. Brian Heron, I expect a lot from him as well. DeAndre Swift, obviously a bit of a sure thing here, too. Zamir White, a part of that conversation, too, and that could be fun to watch this fall. It is great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and as a Friday staple, hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Would not be Friday here on Dog Nation Daily without presented by Marco's Pizza without our buddy Jeff Sintel, and I'm glad to have him here on the program right now. Jeff, let me, before we get into any of the serious stuff, you know, on Tuesday when you're on the program, I kind of jumped right in on you and didn't even give you a good morning or a hello or anything like that. So let me at least extend some pleasantries to you today. How are you and good morning? All right. Well, I gave Jeff the good morning and the hello, but he didn't return the favor back to me. So we'll see if we can get Jeff figured out here, and we'll get him back on the phone in just a minute. Let's see if we got Jeff here. Jeff, are you with me? Can you say hello to me?
Brandon.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Good, man. I'm great. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday to you. It's good to have you with us. And, you know, one of the things that we talked a good bit about before you joined us was something that Kirby Smart said on Thursday, really kind of laying down the law that recruiting big defensive tackles was going to be a major priority for Georgia's upcoming recruiting efforts. You and I have talked about this before. You want to get in some specific names, obviously we can, but just generally speaking, I think the defensive tackle is the number one need for Georgia of this 2019 class. Do you agree with that?
I do, Brandon. People that listen to us on the regular, they know that there's all this chatter about Owen Popoe, and Owen Popoe would be a great bonus and a great athlete even. Maybe even a luxury item. Someone could stretch it to that far for the Georgia defense. But the priority, the guy to have, you just look at Mikhail Carter, Tyler Clark, David Marshall, Julian Rochester, Daquan Hawkins-Muckle. I just rolled off maybe the six deep at defensive tackle there for Georgia. And those are all upperclassmen. And you look about the replenishment of that position, maybe Malik Herring eventually grows into an inside tackle. Maybe. That's a stretch. But then you've got Devontae Wyatt, a true first-year player, expected to contribute right away. But there's a gap there between 2017 and 2018 classes where Georgia only signed one defensive tackle. They signed zero defensive tackles in 2017, and they signed one in the early period for the early class in 2018. Now, of course, Jordan Davis and Tremell Walther are coming with the class of 2018 in June. But those guys aren't even on campus yet. So that's where the defensive tackle spot stretches very thin. And that's what everybody wants in college football is those. We said this a lot, Brandon, the difference between the SEC and every other league in college football is the size and the agility and the speed of its defensive linemen.
We talk a lot on this show about Jalen Humphries and Dervon Walker. We'll do some more of that here in a moment. Let me bring up a name, though, that I don't think that you and I have talked about that yet, and that's a guy that you wrote about at Dog Nation this week who put Georgia in his top five, and that's C.J. Clark. Now, North Carolina, in one respect, was good to Georgia a year ago, the defensive tackle, and Jordan Davis, not so good when it comes to a Rick Sandage. Is the Tar Heel State going to be better to the Dogs this time around when it comes to C.J. Clark? At 303 pounds, that seems to be the kind of guy that Kirby Smart is currently looking for.
Well, let's look at a couple. Let's look at Georgia Kirby Smart recruiting history for a little bit. Coming out of his first class, the 2016 class, everybody remembers a name like E.J. Price that wiggled off the hook. That was the need Kirby had for 2017. As he said, we didn't do enough, even in the first class, I think, that rated number six overall, didn't do enough at offensive tackle. Look at the next year. They get Andrew Thomas, a franchise college left tackle, right tackle, 15-game starter as a freshman. They also signed to Deontay Demery, who didn't work out. They also signed to Marcus Hayes. So Georgia addressed the tackle position in the 2017 class. And now, after the 2018 class, as signed. You hear Kirby Smart talking about defensive tackle, defensive tackle, defensive tackle. Now, they've got a guy in Bill Norton who's already committed. He's about 6'5 and a half, 275 pounds. He's committed. He could play strong side end. He could also, given that size, if he puts on any weight, he could be a plus defensive end and defensive tackle interior lineman. But Georgia's going to shop for about three or four more guys. C.J. Clark is the guy. If you want the straight to the point, no chaser intel on C.J. Clark, I think he's a guy Georgia could get if they really hammered down and wanted him. But I'm not sure if Georgia wants to take that commitment or pursue that commitment vigorously yet.
Okay.
With guys like Trevon Walker, Josh Harris on the board, who was seen as more of a priority. You got Derek Green. Everybody remembers Rambo Hunter. Rambo Hunter is a guy that's going to be visiting for G-Day. He's already 6'6", 281. He's listed as a defensive end as far as the rankings go. But Rambo Hunter at that size is definitely going to be looked at as an interior defensive lineman in the SEC. So there's a lot of options on the grocery list right now. You've got North Carolina and North Carolina State, I believe, that are also after C.J. Clark. And one thing to remember, South Carolina is also on C.J. Clark, but I've learned that Will Muschamp is not recruiting him as a priority yet, which kind of shows me that, you know, Will's going after all the guys that he thinks his program needs with both guns blazing, and that's what he did last year with Rick Sandage. So there's something to consider there. And obviously another name that we have to mention is Zacchaeus Pickens. He's the one Clemson wants, South Carolina wants, Georgia wants, Alabama wants, everybody wants. He's also big enough right now where maybe the more common projection would be also on the inside rather on the edge side, especially in Georgia's 3-4 look.
You just rattled off a lot of names there, and you gave us some really interesting stuff on Clark, who I asked you about, but I can't help but notice in the midst of that name list you just rattled off, you didn't bring up Jalen Humphrey's name. Where does Humphrey's fit from Mountain View? Where does he fit in a conversation like this right now?
Oh, he's definitely in there. I remember the coaches at Mountain View telling me that Kirby Smart walked into their field house during an evaluation, during a contact period, and he basically said, "Where's my nose guard at? Where's my next nose guard at?" He's definitely a priority. He's about 6'4", 305, 310. And remember, that's the type of defensive tackle Georgia's looking for. Everybody remembers the name Rashad Chaney. He's the guy that was committed to Georgia, a bit undersized for the defensive tackle spot. That's why I was scratching my head a little bit when Alabama accepted that commitment. Not that he's a bad player, it's just he doesn't fit the model of what Georgia and Alabama want as their run stuffing, block catching sponges in the middle for their 3-4 front. So Humphreys is definitely a guy. I think the defensive tackle board is very fluid. There's a lot of guys. The state of North Carolina, we just ripped off three of those in the state of North Carolina that's on Georgia's board. There's another option in Florida. There's another option in Tennessee. If we really want to get a first name and last name basis with defensive tackles and shoe sizes, we could go about 10 deep if we really wanted to.
Let me spin this story forward for a moment to G-Day next Saturday, though, because if I'm reading you correctly from Dog Nation last week, Humphreys and Trayvon Walker, and Walker, you know how I feel about him, even though he's not quite as big right now as some of the guys that Kirby Smart was talking about yesterday, he's still the most athletic defensive tackle, I think, on the board, period, maybe for the entire country. But Walker and Humphreys both expected to be in attendance for G-Day next Saturday, correct?
Correct, and they've been planning those trips for quite a long time. And as G-Day continues to get bigger and bigger, that's just the defensive tackle spot, Brandon. When we look back at this on December the 20th and we start seeing where the class stands and where everything falls, Georgia's going to want to have at least two of their three or four defensive tackles signed up by that time. But, you know, they won't go as heavy on defensive back this year. They won't go as heavy on offensive line this year. The area where Georgia definitely has to load up, and it'll look quite a lot like Kirby Smart's first class when Tyler Clark, David Marshall, Mikhail Carter, all those guys came into the University of Georgia. It's going to look a lot like that.
So, you know, I'm still a little bit trigger shy coming off the Owen Popoe situation here, where we're still trying to figure out exactly what's going to go down with all that between now and December. You know, should I be, or other Georgia fans, be worried about the fact that LSU has been all over Jalen Humphreys as of late? I think they just hosted him recently. Trevon Walker's tweeted a good bit about Tennessee as of late, or at least a little bit about Tennessee, more than I would prefer anyway. Should you be worried if you're a Georgia fan about these other SEC teams and their, you know, persistence when it comes to these in-state defensive tackles for Georgia, or does Georgia get right of first refusal with the in-state guys here?
I don't know about right of first refusal, Brandon. That's what you would like to see. And I guess my remedy there would be, should you worry? Probably not. Will you worry? Yes, you will. And you find a lot of things to get yourself worked up over a Friday. I've actually lost the Vegas pool because we're already, I don't know, three or four questions deep into the interview, Brandon, and you haven't even brought up the fact that Nolan Smith is potentially visiting Alabama this weekend.
Yeah, listen, I mean, look, the thing with Nolan is, you know this. I mean, I'm going to let him take his visits. I'm going to let Jaden take his visits. I'm not worried about that kind of stuff. I mean, I maybe you're going to tell me I'm wrong here, but I feel like, you know, Nolan Smith is one of those guys that sort of enjoys the process here, and ultimately it's going to end up where it's always been destined to end up at Georgia, no matter what, you know, he may tell Chris Kirshner coming off this weekend. Am I wrong to say it that way?
Well, Brandon, I think part of the challenge in my line of work is finding different and maybe sometimes less repetitive ways to describe the flirtations with Jaden and the flirtations with Nolan Smith. And I got one coming off the hip for you, but I think it's a good one.
Okay.
I had the benefit and the luxury to play a round of golf the other day, and I came across a gentleman who clearly eventually told me that he'd been married 45, 50 years. But there was a younger lady that walked by the course, and he almost broke his neck making sure he looked at her. And I gave him a quizzical look, and he said, "Man, I'm happily married. I'm totally in love with my wife. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to look." So that's sort of. We all know that guy, Brandon, especially you and I in our age group.
Oh, sure.
We're with kids and married. We all know that guy that's going to make sure he definitely takes a look. And I think that's what Jaden, and I think that's what Nolan doing. Are they as stable as a 45-year marriage? No, probably not. We're talking about impulsive 17- and 18-year-old guys. But I do think there's a vein of truth to that.
So let me try to say this as, you know, carefully as I can, because this is no way a criticism. I think it's just a fact. When you look at how Nolan Smith wrote, I know we're kind of getting off the subject here, but you bring up a really good point. When you look at how Nolan Smith wrote that April Fool's decommitment from Georgia of the day, the language that he used, clearly he understands the language of the recruiting process. He knows how to play the game. So if I was in Alabama or, you know, some of these other schools he's mentioned in the past, right now it seems like it's mostly just Alabama, but it's been Clemson, it's even been Ohio State for a brief moment before, I think. If I was one of these other schools, I'd be very, very concerned about that yes, you know, it was a visit, what, a few weeks ago when he said something to the effect of, hey, they still got a chance to flip me. He obviously likes Tosh Lapoy, the brand-new defensive coordinator. But that was also language from a guy that knows the recruiting process here. You know, I'd be very careful if I was Alabama or an Alabama fan putting too many eggs in the basket of a guy who knows what to say coming off a visit to generate the maximum amount of attention possible.
Well, Brandon, I'm going to speak to you on this topic as a guy who I feel has a black belt in promotion and in marketing and getting funny and interesting concepts out there into the social media world and everything else. I think that this is, you know, you can chalk it up to, you know, wild Friday morning theory from Jeff. But if you'll notice, these two things I think are linked. You notice Nolan continues his recruiting, keeps dabbling and thinking about a Clemson, thinking about an Oklahoma, thinking about an Alabama. And as you notice that, I don't think it is a coincidence that his recruiting rankings continue to rise.
Good point.
And they continue to go up. Now, of course, he's doing everything from a testing and evaluation standpoint to make sure that happens. But I'm gonna expose a little bit here today. Recruiting is about marketing yourself. It's about a name game, and it's about branding. When a lot of headlines generate that the nation's number two prospect is a flip target for Alabama from Georgia, that sort of thing generates the clicks and it generates the views. And by Nolan continuing to do this, I don't know whether he's purposely doing that. I think there is a little bit of planning involved to that. But what he does is he keeps his name in the headline. He keeps his name buzzing across social media from fan groups that very powerful, very plugged in, very widespread social media savvy fan bases. Keeps his name out there, and really, it's really marketing yourself and marketing your brand. And I know, as much as you'd like to hear it for a recruit to say, "Man, I'm shut down," and every time every time somebody contacts me from another school, I'd want to slap their mom in the face.
Yeah.
You know, you'd like to hear that, Brandon, but what Nolan is doing in the year 2018 is really marketing himself at an optimum level.
Well, Jeff, I'll tell you what I really want, and I think that you'll agree with me on this. When it comes – obviously, I want the best players to choose Georgia. I don't make any point about that, but I don't want Georgia to only chase after recruits or willing to shut down their recruitment. Like the – is it Pierce Quick? Is that the young man that shut down his recruitment for Alabama? That's commendable for him, but the elite players, for the most part, are not going to do that. I want Georgia to be in business for the elite players. I think Georgia's a program sells itself, even when Nolan Smith's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So I want to see Kirby Smart swim in the deepest waters imaginable here, which means going after guys who want to enjoy the process, who want to take all their official visits, maybe sprinkle in some unofficial visits. Ultimately, if you want to swim in deep waters here, you got to, you know, bump into a few sharks somewhere along the way, and I don't have a problem with Georgia doing that.
Well, here's where I think the Georgia's recruiting base will evolve a little bit. It'll kind of get like Clemson in about another year or two. And what I mean by that is, Clemson doesn't chase guys, and when guys commit to Clemson, they expect that to be it. No more visits, no more jockeying around. And you kind of parallel that to where Georgia was at a few years back, when Georgia absolutely had to sign a guy like D'Angelo Gibbs or absolutely had to sign a guy like Jacob Eason. There was nothing else left in the cupboard. If Georgia missed there, the production at that position would suffer for the next 2 or 3 years, and the teams would suffer. Well, Georgia's at a point now, and I can even bring up the name, Owen Popoe here. You could ask, actually, you know, stretch as it may be, you could actually bring up the name Nolan Smith here, because they're great. They're national commodities everybody wants, but Georgia has players around and already in the program that are going to give you about 95-90% of what Nolan's full potential is in the college game, maybe even higher than that for Popoe. But I'm gonna kind of transition and maybe link back to our first topic of conversation. Georgia doesn't load up on defensive tackles. Georgia misses on a Trevon Walker. Georgia misses on a Jalen Humphreys. Georgia misses on a Derrick Green, a Josh Harris, a C.J. Clark, a Derrick Hunter. Going down the line there, they miss on over half those guys. Well, that position's going to feel it in 2018. Not in 2018, but it's going to feel it in 2019 and 2020, because that's why that position is so important. They got to have dudes up and down the depth chart, and I don't think there's still a few pieces. Receiver is another good example. Jaden Hazelwood and Dominic Blaylock in the class of 2019 will check off receiver. Those are indispensable pieces, and everybody that wants to worry about what's wrong with Georgia recruiting, if there's another thread that probably won't be as popular on our forum message board, but what's right with Georgia recruiting means that Georgia already has their three biggest recruits that they will sign in 2019. Committed to the program, and that's something that they've had for quite some time. So anybody wants to worry about, you know, where Owen Popoe goes or where the next hot recruit goes, you got to remember Georgia already has 3 5-stars committed in the class of 2019, and by and large, they're still very solid commitments as well.
If you've got the time, let me do 2 quick issues before we get ready to let you go here. Harry Miller, a guy that we all fell in love with based on the profile you wrote about him at DogNation.com the other day, he's fresh off in a Stanford official visit, obviously, or I should say a Stanford visit. We know, you know, what kind of academic credentials it takes to get into the farm there. This would seem to me, Jeff, to be another example of something you and I have talked about here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Margo Pease, a lot, which is that, you know, Kirby Smart seems very intent on kind of going after these guys with those academic credentials, with those guys that can get into the sort of elite academic school, because smart guys are generally pretty smart on the football field here too, or at least that's the thought here. Miller, who I think Georgia is chasing down, another example of that, right?
Yeah, so many smart guys. You remember, Justin Fields scored a 29 on his ACT, and Georgia's already in the business and really recruiting heavily. 2 guys in 2019 that have an ACT score north of that. That's Miller with his 34. That's also Kyle Hamilton with his 29, the prize safety out of Marist. That's just the way, you know, Kirby, son of a school teacher, academic all SEC at Georgia, really, really preaches that Georgia way and what happens after you graduate, the 50-year decision, not the 4 to 5 year decision. And he's going to go after guys that check the academics box, the student athlete box, because anybody that's been around this game a lot, you know that a young man that handles his business already in high school without the support system of the Rankin Smith Center and the tutors and the academic support teams at Georgia, anybody that's already doing that in high school is not going to have a whole lot of trouble adjusting to the grades and the pace of college life while trying to play SEC football at the same time. I believe it is a reflection of a young man that's focused and handles their business, and that I think that sort of mindset will spill off into their football preparation and the way they handle themselves representing the program on and off the field.
All right, really quick final question for you. I'm a guy that makes no bones but the fact that I want to see Georgia do most of its recruiting in the state, unless it has a really good reason to go out of state for just a truly elite prospect. I like Georgia guys playing for Georgia. I just do. But I can't help but, Jeff, notice a trend in the Centel Intel here as of late. A lot of guys from not even in the South, like what I think of as sort of national prospects, have been talking about Georgia. A lot of these guys were at that New Jersey Nike opening qualifier here recently. Mikael Sherman, another example of that. I believe he's from the D.C. area here. It seems like, Jeff, you have lately been writing an awful lot about guys who are not really from what I think of as the true Deep South. Is this what happens when you go to Notre Dame and win a game, and you go to the Rose Bowl and earn a spot in the national championship game, you win the SEC, all of a sudden now you've got the attention of a lot of recruits outside the traditional SEC footprint here? Is that what's kind of going on with the Dogs at the moment?
I think that's exactly it, Brandon. Kirby Smart referenced in his press conference this week, I believe it was yesterday, that as far as the TV ratings go, he felt that Georgia in the SEC championship game, Georgia in the Natty championship game, Georgia in the Rose Bowl last year, those were three of the four highest-rated college football telecasts all last season. And Georgia was basically starring in a recruiting commercial for the program in three of the top four most-watched football games in 2017. So that's going to bode well. And, Brandon, you're going to have to get used to it, man, because Georgia is going to try and get in the race for the nation's best players. And a great example I'm going to draw out here from our coverage is we just talked at length about defensive tackle. Brandon, not counting Rashad Chaney, who's a guy that was committed to Georgia, now committed to Alabama, likely forever going to stick with Alabama now. Georgia has only offered two defensive tackles at a dire position of need for 2019 from the state of Georgia. That's where they want to go. They want to get their guys. Part of it is Trey Scott. Like, I don't know how brilliant this was. Maybe we don't talk about this enough, but I think Kirby Smart does think this far ahead. But Trey Scott was a good coach, a good technician coach, a good position coach. But he had already deep ties in the state of North Carolina recruiting those guys, and that's the Rick Sandages and the Derek Greens, the C.J. Clarks, all those guys that are in that state. And C.J. Clark's a great example. He remembered Trey Scott at North Carolina during his time as the North Carolina defensive line coach, working him at a camp. He said he wasn't that good, but he was in the eighth grade. He gave him good reps, treated him right, and now that the young man has grown and prospered into a big-time prospect, a four-star prospect, those roots and that relationship is already kind of set in, and it's very solid. So Georgia, what they're doing nationally, is just going to kind of be a thing that happens. I think Mikael Sherman, he's a guy that has family in Atlanta. He's a guy that already, he basically said he's found favor with Georgia. Georgia's linebackers coach, and linebackers coach like him, they offered him. He's already going to take a two-day trip in May. And, Brandon, you're talking about a sophomore still in high school who's 6'3", 232 pounds, running a 4.6 already, a 4.59 during some college camp testing. And that's exactly the type of player Georgia's going to go after. They're going to go after, you know, Sherman is the nation's number three outside linebacker for 2020, and you see reports about some in-state linebackers not being recruited in that class as hard as they used to be. That's because Georgia is targeting and finding higher levels of players than what they see in the state of Georgia.
Really good stuff, Jeff. Thanks for your time here. Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. We'll look forward to reading a bunch more from you in the days ahead. We're getting close to G-Day. That visitor list is growing. You're going to be all over it, and we'll enjoy talking to you about it again soon.
Take it easy, Brandon. Have a great show, sir.
You too.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really, really fascinating stuff from Jeff Centel there. I mean, I got to tell you, I loved his candor about the defensive tackles that Georgia might be going after hard, the ones that right now they're taking a bit of a wait-and-see approach on. It's why we love Jeff Centel here on Dog Nation Daily. And, you know, the stuff on the Nolan Smith visit Alabama there, too. You know, I've said it before. My favorite thing about Jeff is, obviously, he knows that the people who listen to our show, who read his material, they want good news. And when there's good news to be given, Jeff is the first one to deliver, and he delivers it with style and flair. when there is maybe not great news, when there's a need to be more honest, you know, on Tuesday. Some of the stuff with Owen Popoe may be an example of that. Jeff Sintel also right there, ready to provide that too. I love Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Margo's Pizza. Really glad that he is here. By the way, before we dive into our SEC through, let me also quickly remind you that coming up this Tuesday, it's Tuesday, April 17th from 6 to 8 p.m., we're going to be at the Marlowe's Tavern in Brookhaven for our big game preview, looking ahead to a Saturday spring game there in Athens. Now, I know that some of you are saying you haven't given us a lot of details about this yet. Please know that the reason why I'm withholding some of these details, not just about the trip to Marlowe's, but also the full week, is because we're trying to make some fun things happen here. We're trying to thread a few needles here to get some kind of cool stuff together. So give us a little bit of time on that. Hopefully by the beginning of next week, I can tell you all about Tuesday at Marlowe's, Saturday in Athens, and the entire week, which I think is going to be kind of a fun time. Y'all know we love spring football. We love, you know, this sort of tent pole you have to go around to kind of get you to the start of the real season in the fall, and we're going to try to make it a great week for you here next week. So give us some more time on that, and we'll hopefully be able to tell you more details about that. But I think it's going to be good, and it could involve free T-shirts. Let me just at least put that teaser out there. This could involve free T-shirts, so that's going to be a lot of fun. SEC through time now. Of course, make sure you check out SEC Country Live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, SEC Country Facebook, SEC Country YouTube page. We'd love to have you join me, myself and my good friend and partner, the former Alabama All-American Mike Johnson. Of course, one of the things we'll talk about on Monday is the fact that it is a loaded weekend of spring games around the SEC here. You got four of them. One of them is tonight. That's Kentucky. I really don't know there's much to see about the Kentucky spring game whatsoever. You are forgiven if you find something better to do with your Friday night than go see the Kentucky Wildcat spring game on a TV near you. But the three games on Saturday, for various reasons, all have, you know, various bits of intrigue. The Missouri game, I'm at least somewhat interested to see what the relationship between Drew Locke and his new offensive coordinator Derek Dooley is going to be. You know, I have been very, very skeptical about the transition. I thought that Josh Heupel was a really good offensive coordinator. That's the old OC there in Columbia. He's now head coach at UCF. I don't know that Derek Dooley is going to be the same standard of play caller. Now, when we last saw him as a head coach in 2012 at Tennessee, Vols were a terrible team, but they were not terrible offensively, so maybe that speaks well of Dooley, but I'm not expecting very much from him overall. And then we get to Florida. Florida is, 3 p.m., I think, tomorrow? I am really fascinated by the Florida situation here for a couple of reasons. First of all, Dan Mullen has called for more than 60,000 in the swamp. 60 grand's the record for attendance there for a Florida spring game. He's calling for an attempt to break that record here tomorrow. I'm curious how much Florida fans are behind Mullen at the moment, how much energy and enthusiasm exists around that program. Then I'm fascinated by this quarterback battle. We've been told that, hey, Felipe Franks may be the lead guy, but Kyle Trask is close behind. Are both these guys capable of playing well during a spring game? We've seen Franks be pretty shaky in these kind of moments before. And then does Emory Jones, the incoming freshman, does he bring anything to the table? I think that could be really, really interesting here. And then the A&M game. Of course, Georgia doesn't play A&M unless they miraculously met them in the SEC championship. But that's brand-new coach Jimbo Fisher. That's a couple quarterbacks, Nick Starkle and Kellen Mond, as I said on SEC Country Live yesterday. This is the sort of maybe rare example where a quarterback competition is going on. Maybe both these guys are actually fairly good. Be kind of curious to see what Jimbo Fisher sees in those guys tomorrow for their spring game. LSU got good news yesterday. This is interesting for Georgia. Georgia goes to Baton Rouge in October. Maybe a little more depth in the LSU secondary when these two teams play. Terrence Alexander, a transfer coming over from Stanford. He's a grad transfer. As we said with Jeff a moment ago about Harry Miller, if you are a Stanford guy, you've obviously got some wits about you. Alexander probably does. We also know that he's really fast. He's from the New Orleans area. I think he's probably a start in this LSU secondary. I think he's probably a good tandem at the other cornerback opposite Greedy Williams. I think this is probably a pretty good pickup here for LSU. I think Dave Aranda's defense there for the Tigers is probably going to be pretty good. I think Alexander makes that even more so. And then final point here, Lee Corso, the ESPN analyst, goes on WNSP. That's a sports radio station in Mobile, Alabama, and cautions everybody not to overlook Auburn in the SEC this season. Georgia fans roll their eyes when someone like Corso says that, but y'all even get mad at me for bringing this up. But I think there is something to be said here for Auburn still being pretty good in 2018. I think there are only three teams in the SEC that have legit chances of being top 10 teams. I think Georgia and Alabama probably are almost for sure. I would also include Auburn there in that group. Not a real threat to Georgia in November in Athens, I don't think. Certainly not a threat to overtake Alabama in the West this season, although they did win a year ago. But better than everybody else, I think that's I think that's a strong likelihood anyway. Count me being with Corso on this one at least, and we'll make that your SEC through. Okay, for a couple of minutes here on Dog Nation Daily, on presented by Marco's Pizza, I want to look ahead to next Saturday and G-Day for a moment. Georgia obviously is making a push here from an attendance standpoint. We just said Florida wants $60,000. Georgia wants a lot more than that. They want a full stadium. Now, that doesn't mean 93 this year because of the fact that West End Zone is kind of taken up by construction. But Georgia wants a lot. They even published a video the other day of Dell McGee and Sam Pittman pushing Georgia fans to be there. And in the midst of that video, I'll play just a little clip of audio of Sam Pittman kind of getting Georgia fans fired up, saying that y'all were the reason that Georgia won some games last season. Here was Pittman on that.
I believe that we won some games because of our fans. I really do.
Yeah, so that may be have been the case. Georgia, clearly the trip to Notre Dame, an example of that. Maybe the Rose Bowl as well. And that's all kind of sort of a lead up to, hey, now help us get some recruits for 2019 and 2020 with this G-Day on next Saturday. I think that Georgia fans are going to answer that challenge. I think they're going to respond in a big way there. And I think that the brand of football that Georgia fans get to see is actually maybe a little better than it exists around some, you know, SEC programs. I just cited Florida a moment ago. You know, they're not going ones on ones or even ones versus twos. They're picking teams like it's a backyard kickball game. I mean, that seems like a much lower level of competition than what Georgia's bringing to the table. For Kirby Smart, he takes this kind of stuff seriously. You know, he said a few days ago that he treats G-Day the same way he treats all his other closed-door scrimmages, the kind of thing where you kind of go out there and sort of find out what you have. Here's a little more from Kirby on that subject.
I believe that we want some games.
That's just like today. I mean, we go out there and scrimmage. I mean, we don't divide the teams up. We just go ones against ones and twos against twos, and then we split some of the other guys, the threes, up. But there's no getting ready for it. I mean, our focus from this point forward is trying to pick the right guys after the scrimmage that we think can help our team next year. We'll begin to work on other opponents next year. Each day we'll have spent one period on that, and then we'll work on things that Coach Chaney thinks the offense needs and Coach Tucker thinks the defense needs. But I'm not really worried about G-Day right now. I mean, we'll do that the day before it.
But when he says, I'm not really worried about G-Day, we'll do it the day before it, there's a way to spin that to say that he's sort of de-emphasizing the spring game. In Kirby's case, I think it's the exact opposite of that. He's saying, listen, we're going to treat this like one of our, you know, serious practices. We're going to treat this like real football, the scrimmage that we expect Georgia to go through on Saturday. We're going to treat it like that. And I think for Georgia fans, it's kind of interesting. I think that, you know, Kirby wants you there. He wants to showcase recruiting. But the people that go, I think they actually get to see a pretty decent brand of football. And that's even before you get to guys like Justin Fields making their debut in a Georgia uniform. So obviously between now and next Saturday, we're going to talk a lot about G-Day. But here on Dog Nation Daily, you know, every Friday we take a moment to look at what else is going on around the world of Georgia athletics. We call it our Kroger Click List Checklist. Let's check in on that at the moment. Another busy weekend for Georgia stuff here. Of course, you know we love the Kroger Click List. It's the most convenient way, I think, to shop for groceries. Just go online, make your order, get signed up for it. When you arrive at the Kroger, you don't even have to get out of your car. They bring it all right over there to you, and Georgia's going to deliver a lot to you this weekend as well. Georgia baseball in action starting today and then Saturday and Sunday against Kentucky. Wildcats, pretty good offensive team, I believe. I think that Kentucky, I'm not getting universal support for that idea, but I believe that Kentucky's a pretty good offensive team, so a challenge for the UGA pitchers here for that one. Georgia softball starting this weekend, also outside the conference against Mercer today, this weekend, but should be a fun weekend there for that. And then Georgia does hold its 12th practice on Saturday. That is closed to the public. We want to make sure we let you know that you can't just go and watch the practice, but we think this is going to be another scrimmage for UGA and another dress rehearsal for what you're going to see this upcoming season. So we'll make that your Kroger Click List checklist here on a Dog Nation Daily. And speaking of Kroger, they invite you to come join your local Kroger chef for a guided kids cooking experience, including an apron, a patch, a chef's hat, a recipe card, a box, and a juicer. It's all just $7. And in April, the Kroger Chef Jr. is going to be featuring a spring fling salad. There's a couple opportunities to do this. It's April 14th, also April 21st. Obviously, April 14th is tomorrow. You can go to KrogerChefJr.com. That's the words all spelled out. Chef, C-H-E-F, Jr., J-U-N-I-O-R. KrogerChefJr.com to find the Kroger store closest to you that's doing all of this. Let's get ready to wrap up the show. And as we get ready to say goodbye to you here on our Dog Nation Daily today, presented by Marco's Pizza, let's do it the way we always do it. 197 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Florida has its spring game on Saturday. They'll try to do what they can to get ready, but we don't think it's going to matter all too much. We think Georgia goes back there and gets another win this upcoming October. It's our Gator Hitter Countdown. We do it every day here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. By the way, also best of luck to the UGA golf teams, tennis teams. They are in action here as well this weekend. I think the tennis schedule is wrapping up its regular season schedule, I believe. So golf and tennis also in action for Georgia this weekend, too. And one of the things we're going to do a lot next week here on the program, when Kirby spoke to the media on Saturday, he'll do another press conference. I should say when he spoke to me on Thursday, he'll do another one on Saturday. But on Thursday, pretty candid comments about a lot of Georgia players, including Richard LeCount. We're going to dive into a lot more of that next week. So make sure you're with us. We'll see you Monday, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.